Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
Live from the Figus Studios, it is Weekend Geek Update. Smurf here in a brand new remodeled studio that got flooded. Yes, the stupids in the building next to us hit a water main and flooded the entire studio. But that's okay, because we're in the tasting room at Figus Studios. We are, I promised you, video this year, 2021. And it's a whole new bag, baby. Papa's got a brand new bag of tricks. So there's stuff coming. There will be video of us doing shenanigans. That's the best term I think I can do, right? Shenanigans?
Oh, yeah. We're shenaniganizers.
I agree. So, me, you already know. To my right, I have got PJ Pop Culture, who is now part of the team. And next to him, of course, is Wakeman. Wakeman, I think, just fits the best. Wakey bakey, yeah. I really like that coin of phrase. I really still think we should do that somewhere along the line. Somewhere along the line, ladies and gentlemen, you are going to see Wakey bakey product. I just don't know on what yet.
Wakey bakey, for goodness sake.
Yes.
Where's my wakey bakey?
My day doesn't start well unless I get some wakey bakey.
We can make your own strain.
Oh. A hybrid?
Yes.
It'd have to be a sativa because you'd be awake, man.
See what you did there. So with the new year and everything that we've got going on, the news as you know it will always be here because that's what the driving force. It's hard to have culture when you don't have culture going on, but we'll make it up as we go along. In addition, we will start to do toy and statue reviews, I think is what we decided.
Yeah, I think statues and toys, that's...
So what we're going to do is do openings, which PJ already does on his page, and then we'll do contrasts and compares with a lot of the new stuff versus the old back in my day stuff, and then we will add a new element to the podcast, which is right up my alley. We will be doing nerdy cocktails.
Booze.
It is the driving force, and let's face it, it's kept most of glue together during 2020. So... we will be doing that in addition to interviews, nonsense, shenanigans. But without any further ado, anything you would like to interject, gentlemen, because nobody knows you.
My name is Ryan Wakeman. Most people just call me Wakeman. It's just my last name. And like doing video, audio, some voice work and makeup effects, visual effects. Little smattering of everything, because everything's too fun. So I've chosen the life of a jack-of-all-trades versus a master of one, because too many things are way too interesting. And besides that, overall shenanigans, dad jokes, and puns.
Dad jokes. I like a good dad joke. I am PJ of PJ Pop Culture. Thanks for having me be a part of the team, BT Dubs, which is Spanish. By the way, I'm excited to just be your go-to fucking guy in the middle. I know toys, I know comics,
yeah.
I know a lot.
You know more than you really realize.
This is not the time to be humble, I guess.
No.
I'm a good fit for the show. I'm very
you
excited.
Are a good fit.
And you know, I'm just gonna bring what I know and learn what I don't.
That's a
copyright
phrase. PJ Pop Culture.
Copyright.
I've seen both of you. Just the chats in between that we have, like behind the scenes, is these two know so much about so much that I don't know. Like talking about different kind of toys, collectibles. I thought I was good with pop vinyls and Magic the Gathering, and they go start talking about culture and things that I have no clue. I'm like, oh, so that's what we're doing. I'm learning today.
Dude, my last Magic set that I bought, like hunted after feverishly, was Ice Age.
Ooh.
So I was at Alpha. I was at the very beginning, and I stopped like around Ice Age and 4th edition.
Nice. Yeah, it's...
Somewhere is a Shivan. So I don't know where, but somewhere in my shit is a Shivan.
Where do you live again?
Secrets. Spoilers.
Chance of Forest.
So yes, so new directions, but very comfortable settings. So yeah, there we go. And if you have questions, comments, by all means, please let us know. We are sponsored by Suzy Q's, who's the creator of some incredible jewelry. She will be on the podcast in February. We are going to go to her booth and visit her. Where her booth is, you ask? Good question. You're going to have to wait until February to find out. So we will have Suzy on that is going to show us some of her wares and how she gets them and makes them. She's a blacksmith. Oh, I want to know if she's awesome. Got like an anvil and a hammer like in the kitchen.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Wouldn't it? I'm like, can't wait.
What are you doing today?
Ding.
Where do we find the elven,
Dude, I went on a hobbit like kick during the break because I had to like watch all of the Lord of the Rings, but I'm like, if I'm going to do that, I got to watch Hobbit. Which for good or for bad, I still like it. I still don't like other elements of it, but it's still good. And I want some mithril. I do.
Oh, yeah. Mithril.
Mithril. My own chainmail. But yeah, I want Susie to make my own chainmail. I want to, if she has some, I'm going to wear it just during the podcast.
That would be so dope. So,
wouldn't it?
You're just inspiring for if perhaps we get a Renaissance festival for 2021.
Ooh.
Some stuff
I still don't understand Klingons at the Renaissance Festival. I guess. I don't know.
Warrior's a warrior, man. Can't deny it.
It's just a reason to be drunk in public. No, that's golf. Mm-hmm. Never mind.
If you guys couldn't tell... Oh, sorry.
No.
If you guys couldn't tell, we're very much like mushrooms. We're all fun guys.
Fun guys. Wow. But dad joke.
If I can, you know what? At some point, I'm going to have to load up a rim shot over here so that every time you do that, I can just have the audio for it.
It's like put a quarter in the jar.
Yeah.
Or slap a rubber band.
You put the nickel in the machine, you must listen to a whole song. Fucking love that scene in Ant-Man and Wasp. Well, no, you put nickel in, you got to hear the whole song. It's like a jukebox. Yeah, we can just quote movies all day, but we won't bore you with that. So more to come. Like us, share us, go to the YouTube channel 5280 Geek, where we'll have the video posted up from the podcast with the new segments. And of course we are on every podcast platform you can think of, including iTunes, iHeartRadio, name it. We're there.
Yeah.
There's some so we've got like listeners in the Ukraine, India, Australia, and there's like platforms that I never put us on that I show up in my numbers. I'm like, I don't even know who is this? Where is this going? So we are worldwide. We're like Pitbull.
Thank you.
So got like it. Us, share us. If you got comments, questions, put them below. We'll answer them in due time. So on to the news, which is rather interesting. WandaVision, did you guys watch?
Absolutely.
I have not yet, but okay. I've heard nothing but good. Well, I'd say mixed reviews.
So, no spoilers. My initial reaction is interesting. I don't know if I feel about it. I really don't. Because it really is starting to feel like a slow burn.
It's definitely a slow, slow burn. And you really need to be a pop culture fanatic, I think, to get... A lot of the reference. Kids today aren't going to know shit about this.
There's a few. I mean, I like how the set changed, and it looks like they start with like a throwback to the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Correct.
And then they like flip it on you, and it then looks, I think, almost like I Love Lucy or like one of the modified Dick Van Dyke sets. So I was trying to figure out that as they were going through. But all in all, I still think they're in hell. She's in hell. But the more with the TV and everything, I really want it to be the Mojoverse. I would just be fucking ecstatic with the Mojoverse.
So what is that's just making me think of Mojo Jojo from Powerpuff Girls.
Oh, Mojo Jojo! The best villain of the Powerpuff Girls. No, I know. I'm sorry. Powerpuff. I don't want to upset anybody, but it's just... Inside joke with somebody else.
I even bought that person a little. What's the green one's name? Bubbles?
Buttercup.
Buttercup. Little statue for them. Little Buttercup statue.
Nice.
No respect.
I just have to remember they have a cliche voice in the very beginning.
Blossom,
Bubbles, and Buttercup were all created to create the perfect little girls. Something like that.
No, okay. I gotcha. So the Mojoverse is it's an entirely different dimension that is based on TV ratings. So,
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you see where I'm going with this.
Right.
So Mojo basically is this. He's part of the spineless ones, and he sits in this chair with like little octopus legs, and he has this big
spider legs.
Yeah, and he's got this big aperture that has it's over him that shoots lasers and does all sorts of different things. But he is absolutely insane. Mojo is nuts, and it's all about ratings. So in X-Men Annual 9, we get like a good dip into the Mojoverse. They've also done like limited series, one-shots and stuff like that. X-Men number 6 or 7, we go into the Mojoverse. That's Jim Lee. Longshot, of course, was the big character that came out of Mojoverse, out of the Longshot limited series. That was back in the 80s.
There's good reference to it in the 90s animated series.
Right? Yes.
If you just want like a quick. But you know, it's
Longshot's got a mullet.
Yeah, Mojoverse, though, I feel like they already referenced that in Ragnarok. You know, that was the
Did
whole,
they?
I felt like that's where they were going with the whole Grandmaster thing. Right?
No, like, because the Grandmaster is really like, that is...
The Contest of Champions.
Yes, that is, the Contest of Champions did happen. That was its own series.
He was like kind of about the ratings and.
Well, that's the Grandmaster, though.
Okay.
I mean, and I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the Grandmaster and the Collector to face off because that's what they do because they're brothers. And I'm waiting. I'm waiting for that to happen
in the MCU.
In the MCU, I don't think we'll get it.
I don't think we'll get it. No,
not a chance.
That would be lovely.
Oh, it'd be so lovely. But I honestly think, and I don't know if it's true, but I really want the Mojoverse to come in because it really seems to fit. Because it's either that or the way Loki's trailers go, it really feels, again, very television-y rating kind of thing.
I see that. And the way so far both episodes ended.
Yes.
Like it was the ending of like an old sitcom.
Yeah, like Bewitched.
Well, didn't it go kind of like under the radar? Two. Like it was very low-key?
Oh, God. Yes, just like that. But even the commercials are hokey as hell, but they're actual pop references. Like the Strucker timepiece, which is an agent of Hydra. He's like one of the villains.
You got the Hydra symbol on the watch.
Yes, you even have a Hydra symbol on the watch.
The toaster
from Stark like, Industries. Like, it had the Stark Industries logo on it, and it did look like Iron Man.
And did you notice that the color changed?
Yes.
From the light?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. There's a lot of... So what I'm liking about this, and it's going to take a long time... What is there, 8 episodes, 10 episodes?
But see, if it is, then I think we've already wasted an episode. Because I think I think it is only 8, to answer your question. They're 30 minutes, but like 5 minutes are credits.
But the credits are different each time.
The first half, yes, but the closing out credits?
Yeah.
Closing out credits are ridiculously like long. Jesus.
It almost just sounds like anime. No, that's a lie. Those are about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And last time.
And next time. And you get 5 minutes of story, and here it is. What? And then here's coming next week.
Fireball. That's all we have for today.
Surrogate. Surrogate. Yeah. No, I'm not feeling that. I'm really pissed that we've already had like 2 episodes like this, and they're kind of hokey.
I watched it twice.
Okay.
And you pick up on things. Right?
There are some, and we don't want to give away any spoilers. We're not out of spoilers, but Marvel hit, yay or nay?
I'm gonna say yay, but I'm hopeful. I see the big picture. I see the whole Phase 4. Unraveling, right? This is what is going to bring us into the whole Spider-Verse, the whole...
You're hoping.
This is... Don't fuck this up for me, Kevin.
Do you think it's, like, too early to tell, or is there, like, potential for the remaining six episodes that there's good build-up, or...
I'm hoping. Mm-hmm. I mean, because when... watching it, I came away with a couple of different things, and I'm like, okay, like you, the second time I watched, I'm like, all right, but I'm trying to find a reference that somebody brought up that they already mentioned Wonder Man. That Wonder Man somehow got mentioned in there, but I don't remember anything about a Simon or any kind of reference that would... Simon Williams, he is a stuntman who ends up becoming an Avenger, and he ends up becoming Wonder Man. But he's a... God, depending upon what era you go to, he's like a clone of Vision. He's an android clone of Vision.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's some weird shit with Wonder Man.
Yeah.
So, I'm curious if we're going to get Wonder Man out of this.
I don't know. One thing I do know is it's for the children.
It is for the children. And they did that a lot.
A lot.
So, what is for the children?
I think it's for... I don't know, should I say? I think it's for the twins.
The twins that don't exist. That's out of the comics.
It's true.
I don't know. I'd be curious to see. I am hooked. I know this leads into the Mouth of Madness or whatever the multiple
the house,
dimension.
The House of M, is that what it was?
The House of M is different, though. The House of M, Wanda snaps and eliminates... the entire mutant population. She eliminates the mute gene, and all that's left are like 20 mutants.
She says, no more mutants.
No more mutants, and just boom.
But they got a lot of reference from that.
They did.
Series.
And yes, especially like at that final scene, and she's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
And right. I was like, is that Swarm? I mean, it's the guy with the bees. I'm like, it's Swarm!
It's the Candyman.
It's the Candyman. Candyman. Tony didn't say anything to me about being in this series. God damn it. No. So I'm really curious. I don't know. I'm kind of enjoying the nostalgia side of it.
Absolutely.
But I'm done.
I grew up watching those reruns, you know, at Babysitters and things. So Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah.
The Witch.
Yes.
I recognize the sets, the scenes, you know.
Even the I Love Lucy.
The bedroom was definitely I Love Lucy.
Bedroom was I Love Lucy, or was it Dick Van Dyke? I don't remember if Dick Van Dyke had two beds or not.
They had two beds in Dick Van Dyke also.
So it was.
I don't remember a window and a pull.
I don't remember
a
window.
Too much.
Yeah.
I mean, back up.
But I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm ready. Give me some more.
I think next Friday or this Friday.
This Friday.
It was going to be a little juicier.
I'm hoping so.
But with a dirty ass cliffhanger.
Ooh. Dirty. Speaking of like wanting more and reboots and all of that, Battlestar Galactica is, and I haven't talked about this because I didn't want to talk to myself about it because I already know my view about it, that they're going to be doing a reboot, a relaunch, and it's going to be on Peacock. So the executive, Sam Esmail, was interviewed recently. And he's got a unique approach to what they want to do. Because they're going to redo Battlestar Galactica. Good idea? Bad idea?
I mean, I don't know. I know that there's a lot of hardcore fans for Battlestar Galactica. So, I mean, it's kind of... I mean, for me, like, when they said, oh, hey, we're just going to take Dragon Ball Z and do our own little reboot. So it's like it's almost like it's not for the fans. It's to... I don't know what that was for. Evolution. Sorry.
For the franchise.
That burned a little bit when I said that.
Did that burn like...
Yeah. Last Airbender and Dragon Ball Evolution still sore spots. But Battlestar Galactica, I think... I don't know. Maybe it'll give them like more fans that will just like the new story of whatever it is. But I think it's going to disappoint a lot of avid fans who liked the original story.
So the original story ran on ABC for a year. 1978 to 1979.
What?
And then just one. They tried to do a sequel, which sucked, in 1980, where they finally made it to Earth, but everybody basically died. It was the kids that made it to Earth. And Lauren Green was almost like a quadriplegic. He's like, you know, one fart away from a seizure, and that would have been it for him. But, like, everybody was gone. They even added this, Whatever Happened to Starbuck. So we do get, like, closure on Starbuck's character and how what was his final fate. But we never get any fill-in. But it never made it anything past 1980, which was it lasted for like 10 episodes. That's how bad it was.
Wow.
Yeah, it was horrible. And then, of course, the sci-fi series, which in 2003 ran from 2004 to 2009. So
a little better.
Much better. And the first two seasons were great. I mean, I remember watching the pilot and just being like glued to the set. And then that one episode where it was, what, 29 minutes and the clock kept ticking and the Cylons just knew where they were and kept following them and just chasing them down. It was so intense. I was like, oh. Then we got to like season three. And it went to some court drama bullshit. And Michael Scarrett came in. And I just... And the ending wasn't very satisfying at all. But Balthazar was probably... Gaius was probably one of the best characters.
Yeah. No argument there. I'm curious, though. Is really, you know, a musical really the right direction for Battlestar Galactica?
Musical?
The Peacock version.
You know? Oh. Gotcha.
I can't help but wonder what they're going to do to try and... Like, I don't know. You ever, like, a live Broadway version of Battlestar Galactica... Galactica is going to be on ABC this weekend.
You're like, why?
I think putting it on one of the streaming services. Well, I mean, if you're okay, putting it on Peacock, I think it might be too watered down. I want a little bit grittier of
like an HBO,
kinda,
or Showtime, or
yeah. I mean, HBO Max has got everything else. Why not this? Mm-hmm. So be
Showtime,
my.
You'd do a little more nudity.
We don't know if Starbucks is going to be a girl again, okay? So there was a representative from Peacock that was talking about Mike Leslie, who's the writer and who's the showrunner. He's writing the pilot right now, and he's they haven't revealed how many episodes they're going to do. But they have an interesting take on how they're going to release the episodes. So... So basically, let's get in and tell the right story and let us how many episodes that we will dump at a time. So if like the story takes three episodes, they'll dump three at the go. One may be like 20 minutes, but it's a flashback to another story. But I like that idea. I mean, I'm okay with like the weekly installment, blah, 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 blah. And the binging is, I think it's ran its course with me. I'm done with binging. I don't like it.
I like the ability to binge if I want to.
Yeah.
Like with Cobra Kai Season 3, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we can get to Cobra Kai after this.
If they just put it out once a week, I may not have been...
May it not have been as enticed?
Right.
Because you got hooked.
Right.
Because I don't know if I'm really into the... Because I don't have any emotional connection to everything, because I blaze through everything. I don't have time to contemplate, like, the story or the impact or the characters or speculate. What the fuck? So if this is true and Peacock is going to drop, you know, just clusters at a time, then I'm kind of in with that.
I'm down for 2-3 episodes.
Yeah. I mean, and it tells like the full story, because let's face it, that's what we're about. We want the story.
They tried that with Disenchantment on like or other Netflix series.
Oh,
you know?
That
like
horrible. Oh my god.
You know, I thought it was getting more interesting towards like the second season. Now that I've waited so long and I watched like the first 3 or 4 episodes of season 3 and I'm like,
this show's horrible. That show is absolutely rubbish.
Isn't it like the same producer, the same creators of Futurama, and like I know some of the same voice actors, but
yeah.
It's
the same recycled jokes. It's the same stupidity. It's just, yeah. I don't. It's so bad.
It's the perfect show that you can put on kind of while you're playing other games that you like pay attention to every minute, like get little pieces.
I guess that's a good way to look at it. Okay. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. No information past the ideas, the intent. We don't even have a release date for Battlestar yet, but we'll see. I don't have Peacock, I think. I don't know. Is it included with NBC?
I don't know.
I mean, I got Comcast.
I got Pluto.
I got
Pluto. I don't know.
Hulu, I don't know.
Yeah, I,
Peacock.
Peacock.
What was the one that they tried and then failed? Like,
oh, that was Disney or not Disney? DC's. DC's.
No, there was like Super Bowl commercials for it last year.
And it was really?
Like, they were gonna have it was gonna be its own shit.
I don't know. I mean, because Apple TV, I don't know how they're holding on. I don't even know how their Apple TV is doing shows.
Yeah,
they got their Apple. We have money.
We have money. We'll just piss it away.
They have exclusives.
They do, which I'm not. It's fine. Whatever. I get it. But it's okay.
Who knows? Maybe this Peacock.
Because I know Hulu survived somehow, and now they have shows. Hulu's. But that Animaniacs. Animaniacs.
Did you watch it? I haven't watched it.
I did.
I like the original.
I like the original. It's nothing like it.
Okay.
It's kind of it's a shell of its former self.
Of its former shelf.
Of its former shelf. So you guys, I was not going to try and talk about it since you brought it up though. Cobra Kai season 3.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think?
I mean, so here's my whole take on Cobra Kai is like it's a little goofier, like. It's not, like, as serious, but I think that you go in with that expectation. You kind of... I don't know. Like I think that part of it lets a lot of people down, where it's like, you know, I wish that there was more story-driven or that it had more to it or they weren't being so goofy. But ultimately, I thought, like, it was decent. It was decent enough that at the end of the last season episode, I was like, oh, that was the last episode. Crap. And, I mean, I'll be honest. I enjoyed it.
Okay. I don't know, because I lived the 80s. I don't need to go back. And when I watched the first season, I mean, I won't lie. Titus is the one that told me I need to watch the whole thing. And I keep giving him credit because it is his fault that I actually watched it. But these people are garbage people. I mean, there's not a redeemable character in season one. I was like, LaRusso is still a little bitch. Danny, or not Danny, Johnny is just... why? I mean, that's all I could just... I just kept looking at Johnny like, why?
Like, I understand in some points where it seems like he's very out of touch with technology, but it almost seems unrealistic.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Like, come on.
And then the only adult in this entire show was LaRusso's wife.
This is true.
I'm just looking at this and I felt like saying, well, so this is the show based on We Peaked in High School, and... that was it. This is such a bad 10-year reunion that I'm just like, oh.
This is what today's youth thinks of us.
Really?
Oh yeah. They're like, oh yeah.
Get out of my way, old man.
80s, huh? Fucking loser. I'll have you know, the 80s were. Bad.
80s were badass. I'm telling you right now, the music was better, the movies were better, the
life was better.
You're rebooting all of our shows and our movies. That tells you how good the 80s were. The
80s baby, you're welcome.
So at the end of season 3, did you feel satisfied? Did you get closure? I mean, because I know that's what they were shooting for a lot of the storylines. Mm-hmm. Is closure. We finally kind of see some redeemable moments for these characters. But were you satisfied?
I'd say no, because ultimately, like, like the main drive behind me for this show is, like, in season 2, there's at one point where they're in a tournament and, you know, some shady stuff goes down. I'll try not to give any of these.
Yeah, no spoilers. I get you.
And so at one point, they do kind of a cheating move from the Cobra Kai side, from Johnny's side. And so at one point later on, he says, hey, you know, if you are a lion, you know, do you go for the other lion or do you go for, like, the wounded monkeys? Like, and so that's what they did, is that they, like, you know, somebody was... They
pounced on the wounded monkey.
Exactly.
Sweep the leg! That's all I kept hearing. No matter how they tried to change that, sweep the leg!
Like, oh, fuck. No mercy.
No mercy. Mercy is for the weak! Anyway,
so
sorry.
This was the first season, like, produced by Netflix, right? The other,
yes.
The other two were a YouTube.
YouTube.
Production. Oh, I didn't know that.
So,
I think.
Definitely, I can see changes, right?
Well, there's, you have a budget with YouTube.
Right, but.
Or not YouTube, with Netflix.
Yeah, but with the Netflix, it seems almost like they didn't try as hard.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, YouTube looks like there's someone shooting it with their camera phone, you know, and it was some really weird force perspective. Yeah, so
they invested in season one and two more than I think season three.
Okay.
I think season three was rushed and like, okay, this shit just took off. We need to push this
We need
shit
something, and we need it now.
But and they all three seasons, whether you've seen all three or not, they all three end the exact same way.
It actually, yeah, no, that's a good point. Like, and I'm just going to get this out just because otherwise it'll just be like a, I don't know what it's called. But I really liked how it seemed like some of the characters had actually developed, like Johnny changed and actually tried teaching them, like, you know, honor versus just like, yeah, be the best, rip the throat out. And, like, I love that he started teaching the students that because I was like, oh, that means, like, there's character development for Johnny, which is cool. But then it just seems to kind of revert back a little bit. And
two steps forward, one step back.
Yeah, or seven. It just seems like a lot of like storyline build up for the one thing that we're waiting for, which I won't ruin that. But there's just a lot of like here's the main point, and here are all the side quests. So let's do the side quests. And it's like,
stupid.
Come on.
Yeah.
Hey, chicken chaser, you chase chickens.
Help me get my chickens, sir.
Got him.
Fucking hell. Now you're a level 40 mage.
Why do I have horns? Why are there flies around me?
I don't know. I mean, I know we're all set up for season four, which is what they wanted. We'll see if we get any growth. I mean, let's look at it. Soon we're going to see Daniel and Johnny get kicked. It's building up to the kids. But I don't think anything is going to capture the magic and the stupidity of season one. But it was so cool to just kind of step back and see Johnny's perspective of how much a dick and a bully Daniel was. Which, I'm like, yeah, that's been a topic of many conversations in the comic shop. I can tell you that already.
Mm-hmm. That's like when Barney brings that up in How I Met Your Mother.
Yes.
And he talks about, Russo was the villain. Like, really look at it, because, you know, Johnny was just defending himself, and then he comes up, like, steals his girl, and starts going through all of it, and you're like, wait a minute.
And that isn't the first time he does that, because there's a couple of show or movies where he's all like, the villain is the hero, and he's all, and I can't remember which ones, because Barney, just the way he delivers it, you're like, son of a bitch. Yeah. Right. It's so good. But yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly.
Silence of the Actually, Buffalo Bob.
He's the victim. He was just, all he's trying to do is just make a skin suit. I mean, that's all he was trying to do.
Would you want to fuck him?
You know how hard it is to find a dress in his size? I mean, come on. So on Netflix right now, go check out Cobra Kai if you haven't. It is worth a watch. Absolutely. They're only 30-minute episodes, mm-hmm. which I'm like, okay, at least that I can kind of pace. Yeah. You can watch it in thirds. It works out well.
All of my comments, I enjoyed it. I'm not going to say I didn't. I enjoyed all three seasons.
So no, I did get
There's differences, though.
No, and so. I got a nostalgic kick out of it. I was like, okay. But again, lived it. I don't need to go back. I even probably have a t-shirt somewhere. Somewhere.
Nice.
Moving along. Also, speaking of reboots, which I have constantly throwing my arms up in the air about, is Dexter's return for 10 new episodes, but they have named the villain. Now, fucking hell, I'm in. Clancy Brown. Known more commonly as the Kurgan out of the Highlander for me. But he does voice Lex Luthor out of the cartoons for Justice League. He was in Carnival. He's even made appearances in the Goldbergs. They had an episode of the Goldbergs where they did the Highlander Club, and Clancy Brown is the shop teacher. So they're just ripping lines off. And to hear Clancy Brown deliver the Kurgan's voice, there can be only one Highlander Club. It was fucking classic. So now to see Clancy Brown become a serial killer that Dexter's chasing down.
Good villain.
Very good villain. I mean, we might be on a John Lithgow kind of look. I mean, yeah, because let's face it. After Lithgow, the villains slowly just kind of chicken.
True.
But it's hard. I mean, I wouldn't want to follow Lithgow. There's not a chance because of how he delivered that character, how that show or that season ended. That was just
terrible.
Terrible. It was great. Wait, are you saying terrible because of what happened or terrible?
What? No, I'm talking about Dexter. How that?
Oh,
I'm sorry.
No, the season with Lithgow. Yeah, but how the final episode was? Yeah, that was bullshit.
Okay, cool.
Killed his. Like, yeah, I don't care about spoilers for that. And killed his sister. Ends up in like with Nanook of the North up in Alaska, and yeah. Just that was bullshit.
Like a bunch of wood piles on his truck, and yeah. He's like, "Oh yeah, I'm Dexter." And it's like, really? Like
so bad.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how they work Clancy Brown's character into this, but just he's such a big presence, even just the voice. Exactly. Yeah. And Anthony Michael Hall is just small.
He could play like a fucking super like a Hannibal Lecter type. Like
I could see him doing that.
To you very calmly, but like.
Yes.
As he cuts into you and puts it on a skillet.
I'm having a friend for dinner. Yikes.
I mean, what?
I would not want to tangle with Clancy Brown. There's not a chance. There is no other information, unfortunately, about Dexter as far as when or what, but just naming the villain. Thankfully, I have Showtime. Is it coming back to Showtime? Yeah, it's on Showtime. I gotta make sure because I don't have Stars. I'm not watching American Gods.
It'll probably pop up on Netflix, isn't?
I think the other Dexters are on there.
Yeah, the other ones are.
Yeah.
Eventually.
So we'll see, but yeah, and he's such a good guy. Because mm-hmm. I've seen him at Con.
Yeah, we can't wait to have him on the show. It's gonna be awesome.
Yes. Clancy's Brown rep is just writing that down right now. 5280. So 10 episodes, we'll wait. As soon as we get more information, we'll let you know. In television news, the usual annual crossover that we see on the Arrowverse is not happening, as Batman and Superman and Lois have been canceled for their crossover because of the Rona. Yeah. Yep. I was sad about that. Did you guys watch Crisis last year?
I didn't. I watched, like, the follow-up big stuff, you know, like...
How does it get bigger than Crisis?
Like, for me, it was like, I'm all about the multiverse, man. Okay. So, just seeing, like, the DCEU show up.
Okay. Things like that.
Watched cool. a bit cool. of it. Like, I can't remember exactly, but I just remember, maybe I'm thinking about Flashpoint, where they all get together and you see, like, Diggle and Oliver Queen and Supergirl and The Flash. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So I could be misremembering, but... I might look back into that.
Yeah, is that what I'm thinking of?
Yeah, you might be.
I'm a nerd, too. I'm fucking joking.
No, really, I'm a nerd. Maybe problems. No, really, I'm a nerd.
Hey, Ramen, earlier, I have the packet to prove it.
But, I mean, I don't really care about... Superman and Lois. I'd be more excited about a Batwoman Supergirl crossover, which is what I wanted, but then Ruby Rose dipped out. Uh-huh. Supergirl's canceled, and this is her last season. So I'm like, well, there went all the spicy kind of friction they had between them and Crisis. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, all right, fine, fuck off.
Yeah.
You know what's funny, and I know this might be an unpopular opinion, but for the longest time, you know, Superman, Supergirl, like whoever. Is like one of my favorite heroes growing up, and like a lot of people, they would always like give me crap, and they'd say, "Oh, why? Because you know he's overpowered and has all these abilities and this and that." But then when you like what I like mostly respect about him, you know, him or her, whichever, is that they have to pull their punches every single time, and it's because their heart is that big that they care about people that much that they're making sure that they're not annihilating them like when they flick them, pretty much. Which I've always thought was really cool, and I mean, the same could be said about Spider-Man and, like, you know, a bunch of other heroes. Like, even I think, what, Doc Ock takes Spider-Man's body at one point, and then when he gives him his body back, like, he gains a whole new respect for Spider-Man. And he's like, bro, like, you could be fucking shit up. Like, he's like, but you don't. No, and so, like...
Spider-Man can bench press a car. Mm-hmm. I mean, Spidey's pretty tough. In retrospect, so. Just yeah. Saying. But yes, I guess what you're saying.
And he's like 16.
He's not 16 anymore.
That's, I have to like put that into perspective. That's what I always
thought. I mean, when
like,
he was,
when
yes.
When he was a kid.
Yes.
Like, he was just a kid, one of the most powerful superheroes of all time.
Because I tell you, Flash Thompson, oh yeah, I'd stuff his ass in a locker. Fuck that. You're going in, motherfucker.
Yeah.
It's over. So not a big surprise, and a lot of it does come from Ruby Rose's exit and everything else as far as why we're not getting that specific crossover, but now the Rona, we lost the crossover altogether. Sad news. This one I'm not sure about, but I think I like the take. Of course, HBO Max running fucking headlong into 2021, and on April 16th, we are going to see the new Mortal Kombat. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Focused on the Shaolin.
It is focused on the Shaolin, and they've got some MMA fighters. In fact, the guy that played Jimmy Olsen is Jax from Supergirl.
Oh, nice.
So the pictures are on Entertainment Weekly that got posted up this week. And the big switch, they want an R rating. And I think they're going to get it because they're like, the one thing, okay, I like the original Mortal Kombat.
It was campy, but...
It needed it, and it worked because of the game. Because the game was overly campy. But the lore has grown so much more in depth since, you know, the late 1990s.
Yeah, like 96.
Yeah,
Mortal Kombat 3.
Yeah, right? So yeah. To see everything kind of go this way, I like it. I like it a lot.
Is it like Neil Blomkamp has have his hand in this at all from like when he did his own web series? I think
he is not mentioned actually in the article that I read, but he may have something to do with it. I mean, they've got a lot of MMA fighters. It's produced by Todd Garner and Aquaman's James Wan.
James Wan has good visuals.
Yes.
No arguments.
For damn sure.
Yeah, he's not mentioned in it, but I mean, nothing says he may not have a hand in it or where they're going with it.
Oh no, I'm sure it'll still be good or interesting or something to look forward to. I like their take. They did a Baraka, but they made it more of like a serial killer, I think, and like had like sharp and like he would like that really played into the character, but just about how somebody became psychopathic and was this character Baraka sharpened their teeth. Like, yeah, it was pretty cool.
It's like a full on.
Yep.
Well, I can't even think of a creep. What a weirdo.
You're such a creep.
Yeah. What the hell are we doing here? We don't belong here.
Thank you, homeless mustard. So I actually am excited to see this, especially I know we have gone on many rants as far as why video game movies fail, but if you embrace...
Yeah.
If you embrace it...
Here's what I've learned. When I started being, like, super critical of movies, right? When like, Thor Ragnarok came out, and for whatever reason, when it first came out, I did not like it.
Okay.
And then I realized, like, I'm losing my imagination. That's what the problem is, right?
Play enough during the day.
Exactly, right? So that's when now I go into a movie, like, even with Wonder Woman 8.
Okay.
I knew there's a lot of things. There's a lot of fucking things. But you go into that movie with a little, like, understanding, like, you need to use your imagination like a child would, right?
Yeah.
So going into Mortal Kombat with that and something, like, even the Lara Croft Tomb Raider movies weren't, I mean, they were shit, but they weren't that bad.
How do you really feel about
Did you like the Angelina Jolie representation?
Yeah, I liked her. I mean, that was also...
I mean, she's not hard on the eyes, but...
It was made for a pubescent teenage boy like me, too. I was like, oh, my God. You know, what was the story about it?
Yeah, I could, no, all I remember is, like, The Cradle of Earth. There's still, like, another film that I never remember the title of, and I remember just a ball, and then her on a jet ski. I mean, that's... It just is wiped anything else of the story of that.
There was a scene in that movie, like a split second of side boob. That is all I remember of that entire franchise. But thank you.
Thank you, Angelina Jolie. Thank you.
And I mean that with all respect.
Of course.
I was a teenage boy. That's what that was made for.
Little side boob. You're like, oh.
So now I hope.
Side boob is sexy. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm.
Man, except all right. For Peter Griffin's.
Fucking no, Peter. No.
This is my side boob.
Nobody likes that side boob. But I'm off topic.
So if you're fine. If it's R-rated and there's blood, which I think is crucial because the first one didn't have any. Because how can you have a fatality without blood? Especially when, like, which one, who pulls, is it Jax that pulls the arms off of people and then crushes their head?
Gotcha.
And I know there's one that you rip the spine out of somebody. I think that was
Scorpion or Sub-Zero.
That's no, pretty... Sub-Zero freezes you and then shatters you. Mm-hmm.
Scorpion might have. Like, takes his mask.
Oh, yeah, he torches your ass. Mm-hmm. What was, who was the Johnny Cage?
Yeah.
Johnny Cage.
I think he did the spine thing. And then who was?
Sonya Blade was like the kiss of death.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Raiden was great.
Yeah.
I want to see Raiden, though. Yeah, just. I mean, yeah. Yeah, I want Raiden.
Science!
So we'll, as more of this comes out, like I said, go to Entertainment Weekly. They've got pictures up, and there's going to be lots of gore and blood and fatalities is what we're getting promised. So I think they might be onto the right track with this. So
they dropped the new commercial for all their stuff they're putting out today or yesterday.
Did they?
So it shows like Godzilla vs. Kong footage.
Godzilla. That is, I'm so excited about that. Yeah, I have like some inside stuff on Godzilla that I'll have to tell you guys off mic. I can't talk about it yet. Also, like upcoming stuff, Tim Allen was quoted that the Galaxy Quest 2 has a fabulous script, which I found absolutely mind-blowing. Evidently, Alan also telling Entertainment Weekly, it had hiccups because of Alan Rickman passing, so it got a very sad and dark because it was all about him and their story. So basically, they had to reboot the entire idea. Wow. And everything else. I guess that there is... there's added scenes that got cut from the original Galaxy Quest.
Okay.
That Rickman is just on point, just brilliantly looking and comic genius that he was. And even Sigourney Weaver's like, hell, I would buy Galaxy Quest just to see those scenes that got cut. Because she's just like, Alan Rickman was just so damn good. And I don't know, can you have a Galaxy Quest 2 without Rickman?
What's the point?
Yeah. Exactly. What is the point? Just to see his sardonic attitude towards Tim was... I mean, it was just...
The other option is recast, right?
How do you recast?
Exactly. I don't know. I just... for them to wait that long to come out with a sequel... I know a lot of movies have done that, but... to wait that long and like so much time has passed since then that graphics have gotten better, cinematics have gotten better, like cameras, equipment, like the way that people act, like so many different things have come along, is it still going to have that same grace and finesse as the first one, considering everyone has already been subjected to modern day like technology and everything else that we have in space movies and you know, the genre that people really enjoy? Mm-hmm. Is it going to fall short because it's a reboot, or are they really going to kick it up a notch?
I gotta say, that's a good point, because I think that's why a lot of people may not have liked these first two episodes of WandaVision, because it's black and white, it's very old school.
The black and white didn't bother me as much as I thought it was going to.
It's got the laughter put over it.
It does have the laugh track.
The campy comedy, you know, like, stuff that we appreciate, but that a younger generation has no...
Well, they don't...
Connection.
They've never experienced it, unless... I don't know. Is Nick at Night still a thing?
I wish, if it is.
I mean, I don't want to like throw that out there, and everyone's like, "What?"
Yeah, that's.
Are you high?
That's where it should be. Nick at Night.
Nick at Night, man. I mean,
that's
a lot
very
of...
very good, very valid point. I mean...
Okay.
Why? I mean, and yeah, we love it, but it's very cult classic movie.
It is very cult classic. And, I mean, I think the representation... Because Star Trek was on, like, permanent hiatus at the time. And to have shots fired at Star Trek was just... so good.
It really was.
It was so good. I mean, Star Trek's better now, thank God, but yeah, shots fired. Like, oh yes, awesome. And the cast was great. I mean, Sam Rockwell?
Yeah.
He was so good.
He's money in every single movie.
He is. Absolutely is. So, we'll see. I know that they were shopping they were actually even talking about doing a show with Amazon Studios and making a spinoff series, but that got shelved. So, we will see what happens. I don't know how I feel. I don't think I would be as excited to see this released. I really don't. Without Rickman, I don't see, I don't see it. I'm not in.
Even with him, I don't see it. To be honest, I mean, for me, it's like it's Super Troopers 2. That movie did not do as well as the first one.
Well, and I mean, I feel sorry for the Salmon guys because I mean they busted their ass to try and pull funds together to do a Super Troopers 2.
Mm-hmm. And then that was like. It was like a whole GoFundMe, yeah, and like stuff like that.
And I love those guys, but
and I went and saw it, and I just wasn't.
It was not funny.
Wasn't feeling it at all.
No, and I know they tried to be like Monty Python, be the troop, mm-hmm. but
it's almost like The Incredibles. Like The Incredibles 2, or The Incredibles 2 came out, and it, like it was a good movie, but they had waited so long, and that the newer generations watched it, and they're like, "I don't get this." Like, no, you don't understand. When The Incredibles first came out, like, not everything was, like, up to par with that, so it was amazing. So we have, you know, that generation looking forward to a sequel and a bunch of other people that are just like, why is this?
Yeah. Well, and Red has a very good point when she talks about sequels. Mm-hmm. Signals! no. I really need, I need a cocktail. I think after, like, I think she has a theory, if it's after, like, 3 years, it's you're out. You're out of range for a decent sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I dig it. Unless you're Die Hard.
Mm-hmm. But at least with Die Hard, they kind of progress the character's age so that it's kind of reflecting of, yeah, shit's falling off. Shit's falling apart.
I won't lie, though. I am biased a little bit. And granted, it's animated, so, you know, it's not like the characters got older. They're just like, oh, no, it's been 20 years. But, you know, hey, look, they're the same age. Like Dragon Ball Z, when they came out with Dragon Ball Super... And it was just like, oh, like, this is a really cool series. And, but, yeah, like,
what's the gap between Airbender and Korra? How long? Because I watched Korra,
mm-hmm.
and it made me actually curious to go back and watch Airbender, because I never really finished that series. And
great series.
The Airbender was great. Korra was just, I found the character annoying, and I wanted someone to kill her.
Does she die?
She might as well. She walks off into a pan-dimensional doorway to some other place. And I don't want to give everything away on that, but I was just like, yeah, she just might as... It walks off in the sunset.
It might have been like 3 or 4 years in between them, but, I mean, it was interesting to see a, you know, a reincarnation.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at the same time, it was just kind of like, eh, like, I feel like it became too... Like, instead of being story-driven, it became a little too political
to, way
like,
too
to showcase
political.
A point. And it's like,
yes.
You know, and that's cool that you guys are doing that to, like, showcase it for future generations. But at the same time, I want the story. Like, stop, like, coattailing off of a great series to make a different point. It's like, you know, kudos to you, but I love the story of Avatar. So what are we doing?
Yeah, I just... I was not happy with that. Let's see. I'll skip that. I'll wait for that for my own. Final story. Only because of my love. Yeah, I'll wait off on that because that's just rumors. Just for the rumor mill, John DeLance is talking about coming back to be Q for Picard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my cue. And I'm done.
And I'm spent. Final story, which I'm doing because I love this, and you guys probably don't know this, but I have a huge fascination for Buckaroo Banzai.
What is this Buckaroo Banzai? Teach me.
Buckaroo Banzai and his quest between the eighth dimension is one of the weirdest, cultiest. In fact, our friend the Kurgan is in that film. So is Jeff Goldblum. So is Christopher Lloyd. John Lithgow is in it. I mean, it is a cavalcade of celebrities before they were celebrities. And when they were making the film, they basically were just seeing what they could get away with by the end. There is one scene in Buckaroo Banzai that there's a watermelon just sitting there. It doesn't belong. There's no reason for it. And later on, because Peter Weller is Buckaroo.
I have seen this movie.
And sitting there, they're like, so what's the deal with the watermelon? We just wanted to see if we could get away with it because nobody was watching us make this movie. And it's absolutely outrageous and totally over the top. And at the end of Buckaroo Banzai is like this parade, if you will, as they're walking out down. It looks like it's you're in San Francisco or somewhere in there because you've got the waterways. So they all come like walking out and they're just doing like the hero strut. Mm-hmm. And it really makes it look like there's going to be another Buckaroo Banzai. Well, there wasn't. There was never another Buckaroo. I know everyone's like rumored and all of that. So it really made me sad. So there is a novel that is coming out. And the jacket, as far as the synopsis on the book, reads as the following. Still mourning the loss of his beloved Penny Purdy and his surrogate father, Professor Hitaki, Buckaroo Banzai must also contend with the constant threat of attack from a mortal nemesis, Hanyo Zan, ruthless leader of the World Crime League. To make matters worse, Planet 10 warrior queen John Imald has sent her Luxtroid legions against Earth with a brutal ultimatum. Or is her true target Buckaroo Banzai? As the apocalypse threatens continue to mount, only Buckaroo and his Hong Kong Cavaliers stand in the way of global destruction. Or, in the words of one of the movie's iconic lines, laugh a while you can, a monkey boy. That's John Lithgow's line. Hold up. What do you mean Penny is gone? So there are some great things about this. What I love about this is Ernie Cline, who did the original screen story and everything for the first Buckaroo, wrote the novel.
Okay.
So it's like a sequel, but it's not.
It's canon.
It's canon. And Penny, which was like a major force in the film and drove Buckaroo to his great hero moment, she's gone, and so is the professor, and I'm just like,
So I forget, is canon filler or not filler?
Canon is basically part of the character. So canon is, yeah, it's still part of the story.
Okay.
So, like, when you're dealing with other stories that aren't, like, canon, like when you're reading, like, Batman, Elseworlds, or stuff like that, it's a story about the character, but it's not in canon. It's not part of the one story that we're with.
Gotcha. So then, in your opinion, would Dragon Ball GT be a part of Dragon... Would that be canon for Z?
That would not be canon.
Okay.
That is the general...
Consensus
of the entire nation.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's a story about it, but it's not considered in the same...
Makes sense. Okay, cool. Thank you.
So that's how canon works. I'm excited, because I know I'm going to just grab this book and devour it. The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Against the World Crime League, Compendium of Evil, releases August 10th of 2021.
Dang.
I know. I can't wait.
I ain't either.
But yeah, I can't believe you've never seen Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a cult classic.
I've seen it like on, you know, when you get like the free preview of HBO or whatever back in the day. You're like,
Buckaroo Banzai.
Okay.
When Hobo would do the free
back in the day. Stay up late, wait for your parents to go to bed.
Yeah, yeah, it's worth it. If you haven't watched Buckaroo Banzai, by all means, please watch. So I'm wearing We went to, I think it was Village Idiot one morning for breakfast, and I think it was Red that was with me. And I'm wearing my Buckaroo Banzai University t-shirt, and the server sits us, and he looks at me like deadpan serious. Anything else for you guys? And I'm like, no. When I come back, I want you to tell me about this Banzai Institute, and do they really teach you how to shape the trees? Red lost her shit. Red's face just bam right on the table, and I just
did you sell it?
I wanted to, but I started laughing too hard. And he's like, "What?" I said, "Just get our drinks. And when you come back, I'll explain Buckaroo Banzai." But yeah, the Banzai Institute, and he totally just jumped on. Did they teach you how to shape the trees?
Oh. That's when you just heard. Yeah, 1992, Johnny, actually Buckeye, made sure that he came by, and he had a vision, and today we still carry that vision in Wanda.
To this day.
Bless you.
Bless you. Bless you, my son. Alrighty. So, with the news wrapped, I guess we will move on to this week's toy review?
Yeah.
Opening? I guess. So, this week we're going to venture into uncharted territory for the page, and open some new stuff that's hit the shelves, and give you kind of a comparison of back in my day stuff versus the stuff that PJ brought in. So let's go. Something new. Our resident, I don't want to call you a toy expert because I'm in the room, but
oh, bird. Stings so good.
I've been collecting for a very long time. Mm-hmm. I've seen the peaks, I've seen the valleys, and I know everything in between. So what we've decided to do is to lend my immense experience, yes, I'm old, to the then and to the now. Because you have a unique term of your role.
Yes, I would consider myself a toy hunter.
Yes.
Right?
Which is, I think a fair assessment.
Yeah, of what I like.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be confused with a toy. What was it? A toy poacher?
I think a plastic poacher.
Plastic poacher.
Plastic poacher.
Yeah.
Because I've seen those even in my day, when back in the day, Toy Biz had just started the X-Men line. The new Star Wars figures on the orange cards had landed. The treasure hunt. Hot Wheels cars. Mm-hmm. There was a posse of people that would gather at the front of Toys R Us and Target, and at open, people would run to the aisles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they would just clean everything out.
Right.
And this is when you could basically toss a cat by the tail and hit a collectible store.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little spread out now.
A little bit. But that's the thing, right?
The plastic poachers still exist.
And back then, that's why little PJ got the fucking Forge figure and Sauron. I didn't get any X-Men. I never got an X-Men figure, but I got a fucking pterodactyl. That was cool.
you got the peg warmers.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, I almost brought in to put on. In fact, I didn't put it on here. In fact, is it? Oh, I should pull it out of the bag. Actually, it's over there. I have my Deadpool from the first line that usually is on the mic stand, but I didn't put him on. But I have the Iceman that changes color in the freezer from the first Toy Biz line. I almost brought it just to taunt you.
Because
I know you never got that.
Didn't even know it existed.
No?
Here we
are.
Oh
my God, I'm going to bring that.
This is the problem with plastic poachers, though, right? And this is why I value being a hunter. Like a real hunter, you need to keep... You minimize the herd a little bit, but you don't wipe out the species.
No, and in fact, nowadays, the days of buying two, shredding one and keeping one in the package are long gone.
Truly.
I mean, I can't justify it because space,
mm-hmm.
and for space, from storing and even displaying the figures, I've got statues now. I've got like some really key things that I'm like, okay, I think I'd rather wrap that up instead of
that's limited.
Of an action figure.
Yeah, actually limited statues.
Yes.
Which is something that's being hoarded in a warehouse somewhere that they're putting out
whatever.
So, with the nostalgia wave that is hit, because it is about the nostalgia wave right
truly.
Now. Truly. What did you bring us today?
So, I figured we started off with the hotness.
Hotness.
You know,
I love hotness.
Started in 2020, Mattel relaunched Masters of the Universe.
And this is... Okay, so Mattel has done multiple hits or attacks on this, because this is not the first Masters of the Universe line to be relaunched, but this is key because they're going for the original... inspired molds.
Correct. Like they, basically, the in essence, the same mold with variations to add posability.
Yes.
Joints, right? Just a little...
Points of articulation.
Thank you, sir. I usually say cool shit like that, but I'm so intimidated.
Oh, spare me. Jesus Christ. I'm on stage with Smurf. I'm getting upstage. God damn it.
Are you supposed to pee yourself? but so, yeah, I brought Skeletor.
And this is fresh hotness, because, I mean, the cherry is still in the card.
It's, yeah, I didn't even punch it. That's Virgin.
Virgin.
That's French.
This French.
Is actually the 2021 version, so 2020.
Well, launched. 2020 we saw... Like the classic
single carded.
Damn you, He-Man!
Ah! Right, exactly. This one actually comes with two head molds, different from the single card version.
Right.
And accessories like weapons, things like that.
So originally, and I remember this character figure back in the day, because I remember the commercial. The commercial was huge, because it was battle damage, and you could hit the armor, and it would... flip.
Strike the armor.
Yeah.
Has the damage.
That was the thing, because He-Man had the armor and Skeletor had the armor. They're the only two characters to have this battle feature back in the day. So to see this, I'm a little nostalgic. I'm kind of like...
Right?
Okay.
I'm bringing like, up the feels.
It is. I'm like, yeah. Oh.
And they did the same thing. I'll turn it over. They did come out with just He-Man and Skeletor in this way. And what I like about it, too, is like the original, it comes with the actual power sword. And if you remember, Smurf, the original idea in 82 when they launched He-Man was the two halves of the sword became one sword.
Yes.
And that was
the key to Grayskull.
Grayskull.
Yep.
To get the power of Grayskull.
Yes.
So you, in fact, have to get the He-Man
to
get the key. And Mattel is launching.
Are they? I was just about to ask you, because there have been. I mean, because you had the Maddie line that they did years ago, where they had like a Grayskull statue, and it was huge. And there were a couple of other statues in that line that were just so beautiful, but so limited as far as distribution. And I never got on.
Yeah.
Online.
This one and. The rumor is this one you'll actually be able to fit the figure
through,
in the door
through
not turn it sideways.
The jaw bridge?
Yes. So it's a big freaking deal.
It is a big deal because He-Man didn't fit through. And if you watched The Toys That Made Us on Netflix, they cover this.
Yeah. In depth. Very, very deep.
Bong. Fucking love that old guy. Bong.
Bong.
Anyway, so in comparison, so you got this. What else? Because you've got more hotness for us.
Yeah, so you can't have Skeletor without his partner in crime, if you ask me. So I also found the brand new 2021 Panthor, which is really cool because I noticed that the box art actually shows this figure
riding him.
Not the original figure that released in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Super dope.
That is cool.
So we're going to be opening up both of these, but not just that. We are comparing these with the original, and thanks to my good buddy James over at All Seas Collectibles,
yes,
he let me borrow this original 1982 Man in Arms,
who is by far one of my favorite out of the original line.
Mm-hmm.
I always loved him, but in the cartoon he had a mustache.
That was my only complaint,
which was always threw me off.
Why not give the man the mustache?
Exactly. And it was just kind of like an afterthought. He's a wee bit wobbly.
And loose on the rubber
wobbly
band.
Wobbly in the knees. So, I mean, when you're dealing with He-Man, the molds pretty much were all the same.
Yeah, I mean, arms, legs, I mean, bus.
Yeah, except for the Tila and Evil Lyn,
mm-hmm.
as far as the mold. All of them kind of, for at least the first two releases,
basically
all came with the same.
Like the hero mold had the muscular arms, the villain mold had the little spike gauntlet, if you will.
The Beastman gauntlet.
And boots versus the three toes.
Yes.
Right?
So right.
Those were the big differences in the molds, I think. And then, of course, you add the accessories, which is what PJ is all about.
It's all about the accessories.
Oh, my God.
So what else do we got?
And then also we have, they didn't have, unfortunately, an original Panther, which I loved because he was flocked. And if you don't know what flocked means, look at the flock up. I'm just kidding. It means it's hairy.
He can't, because there were a couple of characters that came. Panther came with, he felt like a crushed velvet suit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was velour. I mean, it was creamy, and it was like, ooh. But if you took him outside, he didn't last the day. You came in, and he looked like, you know, you'd done a par 18.
Yeah, he looked like Moss Man. He looked like
that was the other one I was just about to cover, but exactly.
Right. But this is Stridor, which is the stallion of Fisto.
Correct.
And they, you know, very sexual names in the 80s, which is what I love the most about Masters of the Universe. Fisto, Rimjob, Skunk,
Buzz Off.
Yeah, Buzz Off. Mastor.
They did Bator, not have a
Mastor. They were twins.
Faker.
Fakor.
I'm serious. There is a character named Faker.
Yeah.
There is.
He's blue.
He is.
But yeah, we're going to do the big comparison.
Okay.
Between these guys.
I can't wait. Because they've jumped light years.
You know, in ways, they have. In some ways, not so much. We're still in 1997.
We're still making yes.
Whenever. When was... The future in Back to the Future 2?
It
was 2000.
Huh? It was, yeah. It was like, we just passed it. It was like 20-something. Yeah. I don't remember. I know I'm going to lose my geek card on that because that's something I actually should know.
And I actually forgot my entire reference for that joke. So moving on. Wow.
All right. So next what? Open?
Yeah. Should we just jump right in? So,
sure.
Check me out also on PJ Pop Culture YouTube. I do toy openings, and I think, you know, as a collector, we discussed this, Smurf, keeping one mint in package is cool for some, but honestly, if you know, there's going to be 1,000 mint in box, so you'll be able to find one down the road.
The one rule, okay, so if I haven't said this enough, in the one rule of collecting... It's all about collecting what you like, and if you're not digging it, then don't collect it.
Yeah, don't be
play with your toys, Dan.
Don't be a plastic poacher, right? Like, get it because you like it, not because you're trying to make a buck off of a kit.
Does this really come? Ah, yeah. So back in the day, they did have comics
mm-hmm.
that showed kind of a brief story. It got Ram Man in here.
That was the cool thing, right?
Like, yeah.
This toy came out before its cartoon.
Yes.
Right? So
technically.
You had... Because the cartoon came out in 83.
Yeah.
So really, to know what the hell was going on, you had the comic.
And it also even has the ever so valuable on the back, the punch list of characters in the next series, which was just like the old Star Wars. I mean, you'd look on the back of the card to see which figures were coming.
Mm-hmm. Now...
It's got She-Ra on the next set.
Yeah, I actually ran into She-Ra the other day. I left it for some other
hunter. And Merman, which has always been a favorite of mine because he was just so misunderstood in the cartoon. I hated Zodiac. I don't really care. And I don't remember Clamp Champ. Roboto was fun.
Roboto, he's cool. He's definitely.
He's got the gears inside of him, and when you move him, he kind of.
Yes.
Mr. Roboto. Okay.
Domo.
What else we got here? Oh, ooh, features. I like this. Oh, and there's there in the back. It shows the joining of the power sword. I like that, and it also gives you key points. Ooh, On the back, that's cool. It shows you removable parts, so you're not guessing as far as what comes off. So he's got removable hands, legs, waist, all of that. Okay, that's cool. So load us up. What we got here?
So, all right. Let's do a real quick comparison here. I'm going to tell you right off the get already.
Oh.
He has ankle articulation. He has calf articulation.
Oh, so right at the
calf swivel.
Yeah, right? And he's got knee.
Knee bend. Really good. That's almost full. That's 90. That's 90 degrees on the knees. Hip. Just full like the normal.
Right. So that's fine. But I don't think there's a rubber band, because there's a rubber band in the old schools.
Yes. And this...
It looks like it's a joint.
This is definitely a joint.
Okay.
You can actually see.
Yeah.
The joint.
It is a joint. So it's a ball joint. So they've abandoned the band-aids. Because that's kind of what it is. Because a rubber band has a shelf life for so long. I mean, even my Migos, I worry at this point, because those are from the 70s. How long are those rubber bands inside those guys?
And you have like refurb kits now for those.
Yeah, so see,
even the Joes, right?
Yeah, because I've got a Lady J, a Low Light, and a Shipwreck that need replacement.
Yep,
because they oh
yep.
No, Joe,
buy it straight from he also comes with elbow articulation, full wrist, all directions, not just flexion and extension.
Okay.
Head comes off.
That is dangerous.
Extra hand.
An extra gripping hand for the left.
Mm-hmm. Comes with the sword and the staff.
The staff by far is the selling point for me.
Which is money.
This right here is gold, in my opinion. The Ram's head staff. I really probably should have Nate 3D print me a Skeletor staff. I really should.
You can do a lot with 3D printers. And that's what I was mentioning earlier, too. What I like about these is... they come pretty plain, so I've seen some badass customized figures. So by just a little blue wash on this,
yeah,
would add so much detail to the arms that you have.
Well, at least with the comparison from the paint and the muscle, I mean, they've kept it kind of consistent. So I mean,
the big difference is the deltoid from a physical therapy perspective is not as, you know,
not protruding, cut. Doesn't look like it's enraged.
It's not as cut. And his forearms, right? But it's pretty damn accurate.
All right, so what I like and I dislike at the same time. I like the points of articulation, but I don't like the removal and the replacement. Because, and I know you've seen this, it's easy to break.
Those little tiny,
that little peg, I mean, I've seen sturdier pegs from the Battleship game than that.
That's true. It looks like the tiniest.
It looks like the weeest of Q-tips.
Yeah. That will need to be 3D printed.
Yes. I honestly can see that going... kaput. How is the ball joint for the head? Can you swap? Do you want to swap the head?
Let's swap the heads real quick. Oh, also on the back, I like that it's got
that's added because that did not come with the original.
The originals, you used to have to tuck it in.
Yeah.
Behind.
Yeah, and you know how many of those I broke? Dude, my He-Man figures went the way of Combat Carl a long time ago. I mean, they are just gone. And all I remember, like, apart. He-Man, the first thing that I lost... was the chest piece because of putting the sword back there.
And now that's solid plastic,
too. So it's part of the mold.
The head swivel is really good.
Ball joint's decent. Okay. Oh, look. You even get a pop.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
So is the ball... What's the... Oh, the ball joint even moves
it's
in the...
It's own thing, which could be...
Ooh.
Could
okay.
be bad, too.
I like it and I don't, but okay. I like the heads, though.
I really like the heads, and what I like about these heads is you can...
Oh, it won't fit on the mic stand.
Throw this on the single card figure that's getting ready to probably hit clearance.
Yeah.
And you got, you know, multi-heads. You better get a throne for this dude.
Oh.
Damn you, He-Man.
Wait. He-Man.
Damn you, He-Man.
Right? So, I like it. You know, and... And what I really like about this figure, this deluxe figure,
yeah,
this figure was $20.
God.
Okay.
It just seems so.
That's a good price for all of
that's
this.
A good. Okay.
Right? Two heads, two weapons, shield, extra hand.
The days, I'm comparing to the days $5,
right?
$10 figure seemed like a mutt. Way too much.
Inflation is a son of a bitch.
$20.
$20.
Okay.
The single carded figures, which I also like, are $15.
Okay.
Which
I mean,
is
it's
even, I think those are more $10.
Okay.
If you ask me.
I'm with you on that.
And for Mattel quality,
it's not bad.
It's not bad.
All right. So
I like it. So the next piece, and this is, you know, why we have to have this, because
stroke.
If you put these together, obviously the older rides, they just kind of sat on there. You stuffed them in.
Get in there,
right?
I can't move. My prostate's in the way. Ah! Sorry, that was so uncalled for. I apologize.
I can't get it open.
See, that's where Fisto would go. I remember that. That was... Yeah, but see, because that is just a rigid, hollow piece of plastic.
The good
I mean,
shit.
The sculpt on it is cool, especially when you're considering the day, or, you know, the date and the, you know... What was going on in the world for toys?
These were the first, right?
Yeah.
This was the.
Well, this was their shot. I mean, and if you watch the toys that made us, He-Man was just one of those. Nobody had any idea it was going to hit like it did. So
it was a gamble.
It was. It was.
Even when they were selling it,
bigger gamble than G.I. Joe.
Yeah, they were making it up on the spot.
Oh, okay. See, now that.
So, Panthor. If you remember, Panthor was just an old.
It was Battle Cat. It was Cringer, just painted purple with fur.
Right, mm-hmm. Which was the old mold from Tarzan.
No, it was like Jungle Safari set.
Yes.
Jungle Safari set that they repainted.
So they just
it wasn't even
tiger,
a good repaint.
Right. So it was just a single mold,
yes.
And then they put the saddle on it. Panthor was flocked, but already, I mean, this one, our mouth,
that's
head,
cool.
There's articulation, period.
The jaw moves, the head moves.
All the legs move.
Legs. Dude, this thing is like a poseable beast.
You can pose this shit up. And if you were to take... an older figure.
Okay, see, now you got me sold.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to have to go find like my old Skeletor, if he even exists.
And you can take the new figure. The new figure.
So relative size, I mean, they're still the same, just better sculpted, more points.
More points of articulation.
Okay.
Sculpt is, yeah, I mean, sturdier.
How was the battle action on the chest?
Now we get to the goods.
Yes. What's the
rides
feature?
Are cool, all that. But the feature on this, if you remember...
Oh, my God, look. Not only does it bend at the knee, but it also swivels.
It's got, yeah, knee swivel, knee bend. Oh, yes. Okay. So if you remember, you push it down and
yep.
Turn it with your thumbs. Would you like to do the honors? So you strike it once. Once. One slice.
One slice.
Strike it again.
Two slices. All right, just like the old toy.
Like the old one. This one definitely feels more...
They changed the sculpt on the sword, though. That's different from the old school.
I feel like it's the same exact
No, because these were joined up at the top.
Were they? Well,
yeah.
Oh, yes.
Good Interesting. Point. Okay.
But, yeah.
I like it.
Even the backs click together, power sword. It's a half sword.
I like it.
It's
And the other, and this had just like the back of the mold is different because where the sword was, they had just like a groove that He-Man's sword would just press together.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have the pin punches. Yep. So to lock it.
Yeah.
All right.
Panthor was $24.99.
I think that's a good 20. That is
for a ride.
That's a good price.
You can use it for other figures.
That's a good price. I'm sold on that.
I mean,
for an accessory,
it's not bad for an accessory.
Yeah.
Although you can get the mystery van for $20, mystery machine.
Yeah,
And that works for all 6-inch figures. And you paint that bitch black and you got the Punisher van.
I was going to say A-Team, but okay, we'll go with the Punisher.
You do the A-Team too, shit. Either way, oh, Murder, She Wrote.
All right, so final verdict, what do you think?
You know, I'm not going to lie, this is my first G.I. Joe since...
Your first G.I. Joe?
Or shit. My first
He-Man?
He-Man.
G.I. Joe's coming.
Yeah, my first He-Man since the 80s, and my one in the 80s was Spitor.
Yeah.
Was that his name?
Sure, I'll go with
Suction
that.
Suction Mouth Dude.
There was the leech that he was green, and yeah.
I had him, but okay. I like it. I'm going to go with, I don't know, out of 5, I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay.
You know, I dig it.
I agree with you. I'm at a 4. I do, as much as I love the old sculpt on the old ones, far and away, he had a stroke. far and away, I'm with you. I like it.
Balance is much better, too. Posability, I mean.
Yeah. I can't beat it.
Not bad.
All right.
And that's, you know, that's retail price. I can't tell you what these are going to go for secondary, unfortunately. But when I did find this, there was only one He-Man and one Skeletor.
Hmm. So there's no telling on case quantity yet.
I have no idea yet.
All right. Well, there you have it. That is this week's opening.
Bangarang.
Taste Buds Kitchen, and as promised, we are delivering on the geeky cocktail. Really, it's the original cocktail with kind of a nerdy twist to it. It's called the Sarlacc. Originally, actually, it's kind of an old-fashioned, but the Sarlacc element, and in tribute to Boba Fett finally making his screen debut return, just on The Mandalorian, we are going to do what they call the Sarlacc. And the major difference between the old-fashioned and the Sarlacc is coating the glass in absinthe. Yes, I know. Right away, you had flashbacks of one bad party night, and it just went black from there. Coating the glass is actually a relatively simple and commonly practiced trait that a lot of bartenders do. You're only going to take an ounce of absinthe as it is, pour it into the glass, and just swirl it around. Of course, you don't want to just drink this straight, because, yeah, that's how it just gets messy. Just like that. Swirl around the glass, coat it, and you should be good to go. Save that for your one friend that thinks he can shoot absinthe straight. I know a guy. And then what you're going to do is the normal ingredients and process for an old-fashioned, which starts with a sugar cube and bitters. Now, normally, you just do a couple of dashes of bitters. I like to put a couple more in there, give it a little bit of flavor. What you're trying to do is have that sugar cube absorb that liquid to help with what you're about to do next. So you do your regular bitters, and I like to add the orange for a little citrusy taste. It also complements with the fruit, because you gotta have fruit. The doctor says so. So a couple of adds to that. So once you get that, it helps with what comes next, and that's muddling. Muddler. There are big ones, there are little ones. This one I've just had for a very long time from my bartending days, and I just like it because it's really intimate. You just bring it in and crush, muddle. Any bartender will tell you when it comes to an old fashioned, the paste is the key element, and that is where the flavor and the personality of the cocktail reside. So you just want to mash it up so it resembles kind of a paste just like that. Once you're done at a significant muddling, you get bourbon. Oh, bourbon. There are a lot of bourbons out there. Key things about bourbon that you have to keep in mind. One, of course, is bourbon is American only. Second is that it's a single cask. They'll only use the barrel once. So those are the two key elements when you're dealing with the difference between bourbon and whiskey. Now, the bourbon that I normally drink, I only do straight. I'm not going to muddle it up. Huh? See what I did there? I'm not going to muddle it up by making it into an old-fashioned. My favorite bourbon of all time is Blanton's, and it's a very pricey bourbon that is just... even just thinking about it right now, I just get... I love it so. But... For the intent, Waitman's cracking me up off camera. If you guys could just see what he's doing. crack you up. So what you're looking to do is do a jigger, 2 ounces of your bourbon that you want to do. I'm using Boulite, which is one of the easiest and probably the best flavored bourbons you're going to find there, and inexpensive when it comes to price. And that's kind of what I look for when I'm going to do an old fashioned or a drink like this. You still want quality. You still want bourbon that is enjoyable to you. And since Boulite is based off of an old 1920s recipe that got lost by Old Man Bullet, they still don't even know what happened to him. His family later found the recipe to bring Bullet back. So there's a little history for you. But it's a very good bourbon. High quality, especially for the price. Blanton's per bottle is probably about $100. So if you really want to treat yourself and you can find it, that's where you want to go. So now that you've got that in there, you're letting it kind of ferment. You're letting it take on flavors. I used to have a guy that came in, old timer. He'd always order a whiskey, 2 pours, 2-finger pour, with a single unbruised ice cube. The thing is about ice, water, once you add it to a spirit, it changes it. It's as key as any other element that you're going to add to your cocktail. Now, the purpose of this, and of course, I've got these nice little globes here. No, they're not Death Stars. I know, that would have been perfect, wouldn't it? But what you're going to do is you're trying to change the complexity of the drink. You're kind of changing the flavors. And as the ice cube melts and adjusts the flavors of the drink, you're going to find different aromatics, different flavors that come through as the bitters mix, as the sugar dissolves further and further. I know some people, based on how they've done with their muddling, gave a spoon to scoop out the sugar at the bottom of the glass. But if you're using these nice little globes, you can roll them around in there, get that sugar dissolved, and it works pretty good. Now, the final couple of pieces to this is an orange peel. And the nice thing about oranges is the citrus smell, which you've already kind of got in there with the bitters. And you're dealing with more aromatics. You're dealing with the oils. And there's some little orange citrus that comes off the juice from the peel. And you just want to coat the glass with that, a little on the outside. Put that in there, again, adding to the flavors, adding to the aromatic of the cocktail. Then, what I like to do is add a little lemon. Again, same as before, peel side down, so you're getting those oils, you're getting the flavors, you're getting the aromatics, all of that into the glass. And again, coat the rim of the glass and slip that in there. Now, there's a couple of elements that I'm not including in this. There are some that call for seltzer water, a tablespoon to help dissolve the sugar. There's also a call for maraschino cherries or a cherry of that sort to help with the sugar element. That's why I went a little bit heavier on the orange bitters, in addition to adding the lemon, which adds that extra zest. It adds that extra flavor. And then, of course, it helps with the you know, this guy right here that I can't think of his name. The absinthe that you coated the glass with. Because, of course, if you ever had absinthe before, you pour it over a sugar cube to get that licorice-y face. Face, yeah, because it's... I'm not a big licorice guy. But that right there is the Sarlacc. And our guinea pig this week is PJ, off camera, who we'll give this to. We'll see how he takes it. He's got the look. He's going for the drink, and he's dead.
Oh yeah.
So normally when I'm dealing with my bourbons, I'm a little bit heavier of a pour, but typically 2 ounce, 1 jigger is the best approach for that. So I like my bourbon, like I said, straight, but I'm a little bit heavier pour when it comes to that. But it's all up to preference. So there you have it. Any comments, any questions, by all means, shoot me a message. I'd be curious if there's other geeky cocktails out there that you would like for us to make. I've got a couple more coming your way, so stay tuned.